Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers for this December 5th, 2022. Got your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Let me be the first to wish you Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to everybody. Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, Randy. Of course, we're going to have some fun today. A little bit later, we're going to be joined by Ross Provost from Burnin' Eights. It's been a while since we've been able to catch up with Ross. Going to look forward to that. Right now, joining us, and I should also mention, of course, this is a call-in show, so we'll be taking your calls at probably about 10:30 on. We'll take some calls. For right now, we want to welcome in head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Peckham's with him. Good morning, Coach.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Yeah,
great.
Feeling better?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Very good to hear.
Just had a trip back from Minnesota this last weekend.
Yeah. It was
good to be back in Wisconsin, of course.
It is. Yeah. It is. You know, there's a lot more snow out in Minnesota, right?
Right.
So I was surprised to come back and see how everything was kind of settled down a little bit. But good weekend. We responded well. Can't complain about Saturday's game. Friday's game was disappointing. I think we played one bad period the whole weekend, and it cost us the game on Friday night. But, the boys are working hard. They're making the adjustments. You know, we do a lot of team meetings and talk about things and who we are. And we're trying to really nail down, you know, what's our identity? What kind of team are we? And We are a very structured team with a lot of speed, and it's playing to that strength is what makes us successful. And for some reason, we have a hard time figuring that out on Friday nights, you know. And we bounce back on Saturdays. And you look at some of the weekends, you know, we have a hard time Fridays, and we win on Saturday. So we need to start figuring that out. That we got to play well on both days.
You had a couple of 4-2 games this weekend. The loss, of course, on Friday, and I think you mentioned a bad period. I think that was a 3-1 period.
Yeah.
In the second period of that game.
Yeah. So and unfortunately, I mean, we were on a power play. We give up a goal, and we give up another breakaway, and then I mean, we gave up 3 breakaways in that period, and I'm going to talk about losing your mind.
You're right. Yeah.
Not happy about that. So, and it's just, you know, getting back to basics. Keeping the game simple. Stop trying to do things that you're not accustomed to doing, because if you don't, the way we practice, the way we're structured is there's always support, and you got to know that, and everybody knows where to be, so you don't even, it's second nature after a while, right? And if you're not there, then that guy doesn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he makes a move or makes a pass that's not the norm, and it costs you, and that's exactly what happened.
You know, this point in the season, Coach, with what you guys were just talking about there, it brings to mind something I remember hearing years ago Coach Quinnell talking about when he was coaching the Blackhawks still. And they had just won their second cup, and the season didn't start out that great, and they took Kane off the main line. The number one line, and it freaked out like literally every Blackhawk fan under the sun. Like, why would you do that? Why would he be on the number one line and everything? And sure enough, they did this, and the second line got so much better, and that third line got a little more confidence in that, and they ended up eventually putting them back both on the same front line. But when they asked Coach Quinnell, they finally asked him, like, after a month or so, like, why he did this. They just kind of like assumed that he did it because the team wasn't winning and all these things. He did it because he wanted these guys. There wasn't enough chemistry on that second line, and Kane was able to build more chemistry. It wasn't the talent. It was he wanted these guys to have some more camaraderie, some more chemistry with each other, and wanted to do that before they got into the playoffs, get it done now. Now, do you do these kind of things even on this level, Coach, where you're I don't want to say tinkering just to tinker, but, you know, okay, that third line could be, I know it could be a little bit better, so I'm going to go ahead and mess, I'm going to do a little bit of this and this right now instead of doing it come playoff season?
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
It is, well, I mean, there's a lot of things that come in at this age that come into play. How hard are you working?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who's hurt? Who's not? You got guys that are constantly in here. You have your core guys that you think, but, you know, again, it's like you say, you go in a drought for a couple of games, and, well, let's, you know, maybe these two aren't, they're good, they haven't got anything, well, take this guy here and let's add depth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we have very good depth. So I play 4 lines almost all the time, and it's just about, we have 2 sets of power play units.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I'm And for me, it's about developing these kids and giving them opportunities, right? So the power play, you know, we'll set it up during the week, and that's the group we're going in to the weekend with. So they have a little bit of time to get adjusted. These guys are skilled enough, and they've been playing long enough to know, okay, who's good at what. You know, listen, let me try him in this spot, maybe that spot tomorrow, or maybe I got to move this guy here and there, right? So you figure it out, and then you just watch, right? And then you see, well, no, maybe he's got to go here. And let's flop those
yeah,
two,
yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of that going on. But depth-wise, I roll four lines pretty consistently, and you know, we've been pretty successful with that.
You know, when it comes to, and I got a good friend of mine who is really starting to learn more and more and getting more into hockey over the years. But one thing that he can't, that he does all the time that I try to tell him, you know, you can't do this, the power play in hockey. So many people look at a power play in hockey, and I think they think of like a fast break in basketball. And they think, oh, it's 4-on-5 or it's 3-on-5 or something like that. And that's what a fast break or that's what a power play is. And I guess if you strip it down just on what's on the ice, yeah, it's a little similar, but they're two very different monsters. They're two very different things. In basketball, the momentum is so much different. It's not so, especially on a fast break, you're not setting up a play. You're looking at who's open here or anything. On power plays, there's still play design. There's still some of that going on. Is there more of a definition we can give to that, coach, of the differences here? Or what? Why a power play is so hard to score on? Because that's the other thing many average hockey fans don't seem to get. Like, people like us that have watched hockey our whole lives, we kind of get it, we understand. But for the average person, like, well, why can't they score on that? It doesn't make it, like, power plays are one of the harder things to score on and to be consistent on as a team. Why is that?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the guys on a power play. They seem to take a little bit of steam off of it because they think they're a man up, that these four guys aren't going to challenge them, right?
And yeah,
right? So what we talk about when we're penalty killing is be aggressive, right? Because guys get lax.
Yeah.
And they just think that they can just do that and it's going to be wide open. And it does not happen like that, especially if you're facing a good goalie.
Right. That's the first thing I thought of.
That's a basketball, right? You got an open hoop and all you got to do is just shoot the ball,
right, exactly.
But here you got a 6'4" guy or whatever standing in the net, and it makes things really difficult. So it's not that easy. But if you design it right and you break out and you're coming into the zone with speed, we have options set up. If it's there, you take it. If it's not, you pull it up. Let's get everybody set up and let's just start moving the puck around.
Right.
The biggest issue that we have is shooting one-timers, okay, and getting the puck to the net quickly without getting blocked.
Right.
And we take our time. And that's always the difference, guys, at this level to the next level of the college.
Right.
It's how quickly can you get the puck to the net. It doesn't have to be hard. It's got to be quick, right? You want to catch people by surprise. So that's why you move the puck fast, boom, boom, and then you hit it to the net, okay? Then you got guys collapsing, and you're looking for tips and rebounds.
Man, we got a good coach in town. Man, we got a really good coach in town. That's awesome. I'm glad we brought up goalies, too, because I did want to make sure before we let you go to talk about Lucas. Lucas Bryan was named Player of the Month for our Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. A big shout-out to Lucas and all the hard work he has been putting in this season. I want to talk about Lucas for a second. Before we do, though, I had a great conversation over the weekend with my dad talking hockey, and I can't remember many times where we've had like new conversations, pretty much the same conversation we've been having since I was seven, we've been having now about hockey. But we were talking about it, and he got into fantasy hockey this year and hasn't done it in a while. We're talking and getting to some of these players he didn't know that he's knowing of and everything. And then he comes to me like he had just had an epiphany or something. He's like, Jimmy, look at the size of these goalies nowadays. I'm like, yeah, Dad, these kids, they're like all like basketball players nowadays. He's like, when did that happen? I don't know when this shift happened from Patrick Roy to these kids nowadays, where you got like I can't think of his name off the top of my head, the kid in Tampa who is like 6'9", playing goalie and these kind of things. And it seems like that's the new goalie nowadays. You don't see, like, back in the day it was 5'10", 5'11", and maybe a little bit of pudge to him or something like that, but, you know, they filled that box. Now it's like they're taller than the box. Like they dwarf these things. It's interesting. Are you seeing that on the lower levels too, coach?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see some of the guys that we played, Some of the goalies are 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
Right? And even the Moose this weekend, they had two defensemen that were over 6'5".
Wow.
And I even told the coach, I said, where do you find these guys? You know, right. We don't have anybody that bad. Well, Will Tricarico is 6'4", right? And he's a forward. So with that kind of frame, you got to make a difference. You got to make your presence felt. And as a goalie, right, I mean, your job is to take up as much of the net as possible.
Yeah.
The problem with some of these goalies, even the big guys, their style is they like to get down.
Yeah.
They play smaller. When you're telling a 5'10", like a guy, our goalie, Ian Tum of Mora, mm-hmm. right, they're around 5'10 to 6 foot. You got to play big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to play big. So when you get down, you still got to get up and you got to get your hands out. Some of these guys, they're looking for, you know, around there.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're playing 5'10 when you're 6'4".
Right,
so
right.
When the thing goes over your shoulder into the net and you're 6'4", how's that happen?
Yeah.
Shouldn't
yeah.
happen.
Shouldn't right? happen. No, so no.
That's the difference.
It's kind of funny you had mentioned the goalie from Tampa, and you and I were talking a little bit off of air about your upcoming schedule, and that even includes Tampa, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. What's your
schedule look like here as we go down the road?
Well, we're home this weekend, right against Hudson, and then we go to Chicago for our showcase right before break. So we have a couple of tough games in that showcase as well, and then we come home, come back New Year's Day. We'll practice all week, and we get on a plane, and then we fly to Tampa. And then we play that Southeast division, which I coached in for about 5 years. So it's very tough. Charlotte Rush, Carolina, Junior Canes, which is my former team. And then we play Toledo, which these are all number one teams in their division. So there's no cakewalk here. Every showcase, we've had the top teams. You know, in Chicago, we play the Metro Jets. Their development program. Pueblo, which is another tough team out of the Mountain Division. So there's no mercy here.
It's got to feel good, a little full circle, too, to be able to go back to the old coaching grounds and take on some of those teams. That's got to be a cool feeling.
We'll see how it goes.
Good. Yeah, right, yeah. Mixed
Come
bag
back and let us know, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I'll let you know when we get back.
Do you want to remind everybody that the River Kings, of course, are going to be back in town December 10th, 7 o'clock. The game at the Southwood County Rec Center going to be taking on the Hudson Havoc. Want to encourage everybody to get to that game. We're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to that game, not only today, but throughout the week here and everything. We want to make sure to fill up the Southwood County Rec Center. Let them know what home ice advantage is. And, Coach, before we let you go, I just wanted to thank you for the early Christmas gift. Thank you so much, man. You above and beyond. I may never take that sweater off. It may be the only thing I wear from now on. I just love the way that thing looks. The tumble, that's really above and beyond, man. Appreciate you.
No worries. Thank you.
We're looking forward to catching up with you again real soon. But you guys have a safe road trip, and we're going to fill up the Southwood County Rec Center for you coming up this Saturday.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for the time, Coach.
You got it.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and Ross Provost from Burnin' Eights is going to join us, and we'll be taking your phone calls. Got plenty of local coverage to get to as well. All that coming up right here on Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here on WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 10:20 on the clock. Got my partner in sports, Randy Paul, here with us. And we are joined right now from Ross Provost from Burnin' Eights. Ross, good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hey, it's been a while. How you been?
It has. Good to be back. Been busy, but we're enjoying the holiday season here and kind of catching up on a few things for Burnin' Eights and moving into the swing of a few new seasons here with we went through muskie season and now hunting season, which some of the guys that I filmed with, they're still actually hunting this last weekend and still here doing some muzzleloader hunting too. So we've been swinging through the new seasons and looking forward to, I guess, ice fishing on the horizon too.
Before we dive too deep into the Q&A here, Ross, I wanted to tell you guys, just really killing it on the YouTube and Instagram pages. Have really been enjoying the content you guys have been putting out. Really, really good stuff, man.
Well, I appreciate hearing that, and it's always nice to know people are watching and following along with the things that are happening at Burnin' Eights. We had a little bit of a lull here as far as new uploads and new content on YouTube, just because I ran into some computer issues that put me down for about the last 2 months as far as trying to figure out troubleshooting, and basically couldn't get a video to edit, and my software was really letting me down. But I think we have found a solution, fingers crossed. At least we'll be able to move forward and start putting out even more videos that we racked up this past summer and fall here.
You know, Ross, here at WFHR, we're under the umbrella of Civic Media, and we have some of the greater minds in this industry working here. People like our GM, our engineer Chuck, that grew up in this industry, and we have hiccups all the time. I can't imagine with a organization like you guys, where it's really the people that you see on camera are oftentimes the people who are doing the editing and all these things too. You guys have to wear a lot of hats. While I feel for you about that, I'm glad that this came up in a sense, because it's able to, for us to give like complete credit to all the work that you guys do out there. It's such a, you don't have a huge team, and yet you're putting out content that I could see this as a national thing. Like I think that it's really noteworthy. So I do feel for you, but it is kind of, that gives us organically a chance to kind of pub you guys up a little bit more too.
Well, it goes to show you how much of a production so much in our lives are, you know, as far as even just, you know, watching the Packers on Sunday, you know, what all has to go right to make that happen, you know. And there's, like you said, there's with you guys, there's things in the background that, you know, you're always up against things in this world, but that's part of everyday life, is overcoming whatever the next day throws at you, you know.
Yep, very well said.
You know, you also talk a little bit about the videos that you're putting out, and I think one of the recent ones you're thinking about is the trip that you took out west and had some interesting times out there as well.
Yeah, that was definitely a unique experience. And, you know, we finished out muskie season, and I would say size and numbers were a little bit down for us. We had a little bit tougher year, but then we swung into hunting season here and actually just uploaded a recent Northern Wisconsin bow hunting video that my fishing partner and hunting partner, he self-filmed. Awesome shot on camera as far as a buck that he had come in while he was sitting in his stand on public land. And then, that same weekend, Alex and I actually went out west to Montana. Totally new experience for me. I've always wanted to go out west. And he said, you know, I got a mule deer tag left over. Let's just wing it and let's just try it. You know, see if we can. We didn't really know much about, I mean, he's got extensive experience as far as hunting whitetails here in Wisconsin, but, you know, obviously some of that transfers over to mule deer hunting, but you're in a total different area now, you're a total different state, much different style of hunting, and we thought, you know, let's give it a try. And he even wanted to camp in the back of his truck, and he outfitted it with he's got a topper on it, and he did some other modifications to it so that we could sleep in the back of the truck out there in the beginning of November here, which turned out to be some very cold weather that moved through early November there. And our plan actually backfired on us for sleeping out in the open country under the stars, as far as the generator actually quit on us about 9-10 o'clock at night, our first night. So we actually we had to make a big move. We were about an hour and a half from Blacktop, so we had to pack everything back up, head into a small town in Montana, had no idea where we were going, and started calling hotels. Finally found one about midnight, and we had to regroup, totally regroup, but that's part of the adventure, I would say, is some of these things you run into that just force you a different direction here, and it actually forced us into a very good direction, because it put us on some deer. And we ended up contacting a mule deer through this change of direction that we had to go, and turned out to be an awesome, awesome experience that, you know, we actually came up over a ridge, and my buddy spotted a buck, and I was about 200 yards away, took the shot, and it was with rifle, obviously, and he was able to put it down, and we got some awesome footage of it too. And, you know, just the scenery out there was provided a great experience, and one that I'd definitely like to go back, as far as, you know, more western style hunting like that. And it was top notch experience on our end, and obviously not everything happens like that, but we had our ups and downs as far as, you know initially getting set up, getting to the hunt, but once the hunt provided itself. It turned out to be a great, great experience.
And maybe you can speak a little bit more to the hunt itself, from the fact that most people in Wisconsin here, unless they drive or they're sitting in a stand in the woods, maybe don't understand or have never experienced what you went through.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a good point, because I've watched my buddies that I fish and film and then hunt with too. Is, you know, you gain the style of hunting here in Wisconsin. A lot of it is, you're setting up you're not very mobile. You're picking a stand and you're waiting for that deer to come by based on sign, different runways that, deer, how they're setting up. And it's more of it's less proactive style hunting. Whereas out west, you're more proactive. You're scouting, you're using binoculars. You can see so far, you're using spotting scopes to try to find deer, and then you're looking at maps and you're just driving. And then you get out and walk, and you're going to sit a little bit, you're going to, scout a little bit, look with the binoculars, and then you're going to pick up, and then you're going to keep walking, you're going to keep moving. And that was very eye-opening for me, because I'm not a good sitter. So when it comes to this western style hunting, which there's different ways to even hunt out west, which we have limited experience as far as that, but this style was very proactive for us. And you're basically, you're spotting deer and you're moving after them, trying to figure out how to cut them off or get within range.
Speaking of Ross Provost from Bird and Eights, and Ross, was there anything about the trip that very different, from polar opposite from Wisconsin to there?
Yeah, I mean, the scenery is pretty amazing as far as, just wide open country. It's like here in Wisconsin, we're so used to being surrounded by trees. And I mean, obviously you have big fields and stuff here, but it's like, it's out there, the area that we were in was just, you had a few trees, but it's such a different feeling. And, when they say big sky country in Montana, it's definitely true, because you feel a lot smaller out there than you do here in Wisconsin.
Ross, when it comes to what you guys have anything coming up over at Bird and Eights that you're looking forward to?
Basically the big thing that I want to get back rolling here is start cranking out some more videos now that hopefully we got the computer system fixed up. But I would say, we'll probably be doing a little bit of ice fishing throughout the winter here, but we're also going to be gearing up for the Wisconsin Muskie Expo in March. So over the next few months, once we get through the holidays here, we'll start pushing for that more and get set up, which is always a good time as far as you got the off-season of muskie fishing here, which is kind of our main focus in addition to hunting here. But
kind of your Super Bowl. Kind of your...
Right. Kind of your right.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of guys yesterday that were actually out on the ice. They said up north they had 6 inches of ice. They caught some fish already, so that's already a good sign. And, of course, we're always looking forward to that Muskie Expo that'll be in March and talking to you about that as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't get to do this nearly enough, Ross. Both Randy and I are wearing some of your apparel. He's got a great hat on. I've got the shirt that you got for me here. I want to encourage people to take a look at that. You guys got some great gear there, whether it's shirts, hats, women's, men's stuff. Also, you guys got some great tackle, some great bait and things to look at as well. So encourage everybody to go to burnin8s.com. That's burnin with no G, just burnin8s.com. And be sure to go to your YouTube page, subscribe to their page, go to Instagram, Facebook, keep up to date with all the great stuff that they're doing over there. Ross, we're not going like this long between break, catching up with you though again, okay? You're going to have to join us much sooner next time.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, I always enjoy talking with you guys and the community, so it's always fun to talk a little bit of burning eights and hunting and fishing. So
yeah, if not sooner, let's try to plan for around muskie season there. Let's try to get you on and everything. When you're busiest, that's of course when I want to bug you, Ross. That's what
that's all right. There's always time to talk.
Hey, do us a favor, say hi to the team over there. You got a great team, man. We appreciate the time. Say hi to everybody, and you guys have a great Christmas.
Will do. You guys too. Thanks for having me on, guys. Great talking.
Yeah, good conversation as always. Thanks, Ross. Appreciate the time. Ross Provost from Burning Eights joining us. And again, be sure to keep up to date with all the things they got going on. Burning8s.com is the webpage. Bookmark it. And be sure to subscribe to their YouTube page, to their Instagram. Whether you're into hunting or not, it's such a great follow.
If this is the first time you've ever heard us talk with Ross or about Ross's Burning Eights, we've said this before, that if you watch their videos, they are more professional than some of the television shows.
Absolutely,
we're not just saying that.
No, they are.
You know, they've got drones where they're following the boat from up on top, and slow motion videos and action with the muskies coming out of the water. It's phenomenal.
I'm truly blown away by the work that they do. This now, while hunting may not be my wheelhouse, what they do is filming, the type of way that they edit these things. And honestly, guys, I mean, I can't tear it apart. It's amazing work that they do. Even if you weren't in, if you just wanted to get some good views of some of the lands that they were talking about here, it's really good. Let alone if you are a hunter or a fisherman, cannot encourage you enough to check out Burning Eights.
Yeah, big shout out to them. Yeah, watch like 2 minutes of their video and say, okay, that's all I'm going to watch, and you'll watch all 20.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So every time it gets me, Randy. Yep. Every time. This weekend I went down a rabbit hole with this and everything. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do, you know, catch up with Burning Eights because we got Ross on this week. Right. 20 minutes later, you know,
should I look at the next video?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We will take a break here. When we come back, the show is all yours, everybody. Call up and join the conversation at 424-2600. And, of course, we'll get into some local stuff that Randy has for us. I want to talk college football and the MLB Hall of Fame a little bit, too.
About the crime dog.
Yes, yes, the crime dog is finally in. We'll talk all that when we come back here on Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here at WFHR, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, 424-2600. Call us up with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear from you. Right now, our good partner in sports here, Randy Paul, does a great job covering local stuff. What do you have for us, Randy?
Well, we'll start with boys high school basketball from this last week. Wisconsin Rapids out of the Valley improved to 2-2 on the season as they spanked Sparta 70-43, leading 35-13 at the break. Cade Youngworth led the scoring parade with 22 points. Evan Matthews had 14, and Caleb Lemieux added 11. And we hope to have the Red Raiders back on the air on Friday. Gene Delisio going to join us for that broadcast. We're looking forward to that as well.
That's great.
Elsewhere in the Valley, Spash was throttled by fourth-ranked Rockets of Neenah, 83-55. Marshfield's second-half rally comes up short, 62-58 at La Crosse Central. Everest is 3-1 as the Trees toppled Ashwaubenon 58-49. Three Dubs picks up the W over Eau Claire North 58-42. Wausau East, they're 0-3, falling by 4 at home to New London. We should let you do the math. 79-2. And Mosinee Malls Merrill, 79-51. In the Merriwood South, Assumption was on the road, and they rallied past Phillips, 61-59, winning it by 2. Nice game there.
Yeah.
Ryan Shaw knocks down 18. Blake Loebner had 12, and Jack Wiedemeyer went for 10. Sixth-ranked Auburndale annihilates Abbotsford, 79-28. Lucas Yeski leads the way with 17. Edgar snuck past Rib Lake, 61-57. Marathon stops Shawamigan, 73-51. Newman is 4-0, and they're ranked number 2 in state, as they were 10 better than Athens, 56-46. And Stratford's also still perfect, as they pop Prentice, 78-59. In the Central Wisconsin South Conference, Port Edwards wins at Alma Center Lincoln, 58-43. Josh Tranel had 23, Timmy Tranel with 14, and Nathan Gibbs added 10. Pittsville whips Waniwak Center, 73-12.
That's crazy. That doesn't seem like a real score. I saw that, and I'm like, no, that has to be a typo.
Gotta be, right? Yeah. Sam Bowden had 15 points. 11 different Panthers break into the scoring column. And Stevens Point Pacelli, they were tied with top-ranked Columbus Catholic at the break, but they come up short 68-56. In the South Central, Nakusa picked up a home win on Tuesday over Montello, 70-50. And then on Saturday, the Papermakers led by one at the break, but then got beat by Blair Taylor, 84-64. Girls high school basketball in the Valley on Saturday afternoon in a game you heard on our sister station, WIRI. Wisconsin Rapids hosted Menasha, comes up short 63-46. Sophomore Gabby Nilitz had 11 points, and Aliyah Jennings added 10. Also at the Just a Game Fieldhouse on Saturday, Spash loses by 1 to Appleton North, 42-41. Elsewhere in the Valley, Marshfield levels La Crosse Central, 69-58. Everest falls to 0-6 and to Mosinee, 62-46. It's the Evergreens hosting Rapids tomorrow night. West is now 1-3 as they were beaten by third-ranked Hortonville, 72-54. East isn't faring much better, but they did get by a pretty bad Green Bay East squad on Saturday, 61-35. And Merrill was also at just a game and got gashed by Ellsworth, 61-33. In the Marawood South, the second-ranked Lady Royals also faced Phillips. They improved to 5-0 with a 77-66 victory. Assumption hosts fourth-ranked Edgar tomorrow night. Speaking of the Wildcats, they routed Rib Lake 69-23. Auburndale falls for the first time this season at Abbotsford 62-52. Marathon wins at Shawamigan 64-23. Stratford stops Prentice 43-29. And third-ranked Athens knocks out Newman Catholic 59-15. Central Wisconsin Southport falls at Pacelli 57-15, and they are now 0-3 on the season. Pittsville, on the other hand, they're 3-1 as they stung the Hornets of Rochelle 39-33. Reese Grimm led the way with 11 points. And in the South Central, in a game you also heard on our sister station, FM 105.5, Nakusa rallied from a 12-point halftime deficit, tied it at 42s before they fall to Northland Lutheran 51-44. Talia Wagner leading the Papermakers with 23. Haley Anderson added 15, while for Northland Lutheran, a couple of Rapids girls, Brianna Opshus with 22, and Bree Kane added 14. And of course, as we were talking with Coach, the River Kings split with the Moose this weekend, losing on Friday 4-2, and then winning on Saturday 4-2 as well. So they're now 13-8 on the year, and then they will be taking on the Hudson Havoc this weekend.
Be sure to follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. Get your tickets and find out more at riverkingshockey.com. And be listening to both our radio stations, not just us here at WFHR, but our sister station, WIRI, WisCountry 105.5. We are your home for college basketball, period. And in Wisconsin, we are your home for college basketball. We got the Badgers right here in WFHR, Marquette on WIRI, along with our River Kings. Keep on supporting these teams and enjoy this season that we're having of college basketball already. It's already been a great season.
Well, speaking of Badgers and Marquette, they clashed with each other and went to overtime. Isn't it funny? Marquette, they beat number 6 Baylor 96-70, and it wasn't even that close.
It wasn't even close, yeah.
And I said, you know what? When they play the Badgers on Saturday, when you play the Badgers, you know it's going to be a close game. It's not going to be a blowout. And sure enough, they go to overtime. Badgers prevailed by 3 in overtime.
Both those teams could be 0-20 going into that game,
right?
And it would be like that. It would be that kind of game.
You know, back in the early 70s when Marquette was always number 2 in the country because UCLA was always number 1, they would always have a time with Wisconsin. Mm. You're right. You know, they would maybe lose 3 games a year. One would always be over DePaul, right?
Made my dad's day by saying Meyer. Oh, that's great.
And the other one was Wisconsin. You know, that was always a battle as well, no matter how. And usually, boy, Wisconsin was not very good in the early 70s.
Well, let's talk a little Wisconsin football right now, and we'll get into the bowl coverage, the playoff four that they have set in stone now, and who Wisconsin is going to be playing in their college game. But I want to talk a little bit about coming and going here. First up, let's get the maybe bad, maybe not out of the way. It depends on your opinion above it and stuff, of course. But it does look like Graham Mertz has entered the transfer protocol. Graham Mertz will not be continuing his career at UW.
I also heard he can't play then.
Right.
In the bowl game.
Right. So Luke Fickell, the new UW coach on this, on the news of Graham Mertz transferring, lots of conversations with Graham. Actually just got off the phone not too long ago with him. It's a tough situation. I encouraged him to stick around here and see how things play out, but he did not want to do that, and we respect that. He continued to say this opens up some things for them, opportunity during the bowl practice to see what they have behind him. And of course, in nowadays, college football, this could lead to a million different things. The kid from the main quarterback at Cincinnati he was recruiting may come over, or another kid may come over. So that's interesting. And I wish Graham Mertz well. For a young adult, he had a lot on his shoulders, one way or another, whether you're a fan of his or not. But everybody, it is a happy day. It is a happy day here in Wisconsin because the thing that you didn't think could happen, especially with the egos and the money and everything that is in college football nowadays, this rarely, if ever, happens. You bring in the most sought-after coach in college football, in Luke Fickell. You just brought him in. Now, the downside of this is, of course, well, you're going to lose Coach Leonard. He's going to be gone now and everything, and nobody wants that. Everybody wants Coach Leonard to stay. Well, guess what, everybody?
It sure sounds like he's staying.
Oh, happy day! Jim Leonard will remain at Wisconsin under Luke Fickell as defensive coordinator. This is official. I do believe he is getting a pay bump, rightfully so. Now, there was some interesting stuff to come out of this, Randy. First up, this never happens.
No.
You don't see this. A big shout out to Coach Fickell and to Coach Leonard. No egos in this one. What is the best thing for Wisconsin? That was what was decided. Then the conversation comes up, well, Coach Leonard must have not gotten any good job opportunities. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched football? Like, do you?
He had a number last year, didn't he?
He got a lot last year.
Yeah.
He got actually more last year than he did this year. But the thing of it is, it wasn't anything he wanted. If the grass isn't always greener, and he knows that. This is a smart man. He understands that.
And we've had that conversation several times, haven't we? Being a Wisconsin
yes.
boy, being a person who went to UW, you know, sometimes home is just a good spot to be.
Fair.
And I think he probably talked it over with the wife and family and the coaching staff from now coming in from Cincinnati and said, I love it here.
Yeah.
You know, where do I want, at this point in my career, where else would I want to go?
Man, and Luke Fickell is incredibly good at what he does, so it's not surprising, but good on him. No egos here. No, oh, I got to bring in my guy. Hey, Jim, let's have a conversation. Hey, we get along. We actually get along really good. They both actually are very good friends with each other and stuff, and played against each other and all this back in college, so.
And you have, like, the credentials with all of these top five defenses in the last four out of five years, so.
You could not have asked for a better scenario as a Wisconsin
fan.
Would
we have ever dreamed this 2 weeks ago?
No.
No.
I wouldn't bet $5 on this, Randy.
No.
I'm just blown away by that. A good big shout out. That is some pretty cool news.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning. You're on these airwaves.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
We're good. How are you?
Oh, it's a wonderful day here in Wisconsin Rapids, let me tell you.
And we haven't even talked Packers Bears yet.
Right? Yeah.
That was kind of talked about it at work today a little bit. I was wondering why that wasn't a prime time game because it was Bears Packers. You know the rivalry, and you know they're both not good this year. So
yeah.
But you know, talk about Wisconsin and you know with Mertz leaving, you sometimes wonder. When they talk about these kids that are the top 25 in the country or top 10 in the country, if sometimes these ratings are really true, you know, someone here in Wisconsin Rapids could be the best kid in the state of Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
but you get them up against some of the competition like from Texas or throughout the country. I mean, where he might not be. He could probably be in the top 100 then by the time he gets to that point.
Think about Jack Sanborn, right? I mean, we just loved him here in Wisconsin. We're like, boy, this is a kid that we could use. Nobody drafts the kid, and all he does is get like 14 tackles. I don't know what he ended up with yesterday, but the game before
he's the heart of our defense
now.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. You know those rankings, those 4-star, 5-star recruits. You have no idea, do you?
Yeah. Does he have it between the ears, you know, to be that great quarterback? You kind of wonder a little bit. You know, I mean, he looked good on paper. He looked good, you know, when I watched him in the high school showcase, the Army, whatever it was, they had him in, the Senior Bowl. He looked good, but you get to that next level, it's so much faster. And look at some of the quarterbacks coming out of college or even some of the players. You know, look at the running backs that we've had come out of Wisconsin. I mean, James White, maybe Melvin Gordon, probably about the only ones really that has looked good as a pro as a running back. So I don't know. These rankings don't mean much to me. If you come out and got it between the ears, ready to learn something new, willing to make the changes, that's where I think you as an athlete can really prosper.
You know, we're talking billion-dollar industries with college and NFL football and technological advancement that can be used to assess these kids is being done, whether we're talking about quarterback or center or any position. All these things, and still you ask most scouts – hey, what makes a good quarterback? You know, it's hit or miss, man. There's no rhyme or reason to it necessarily. I'll never forget the interview with Theo Epstein, who I think everybody would agree, pretty smart, intelligent mind when it comes to baseball, and one of the guys who really revolutionized scouting in baseball. And they ask him, Theo, what do you look for in a starting pitcher? And he's like, I don't know. There's no real rhyme or reason. Like, you just crossing your fingers and hoping, hey, this kid works out. Because for every kid that with the highest ranking and the greatest fastball and all this, you just never know what's the difference between Dwight Gooden and Todd Van Poppel. What is that? You know, what happens there? And I think so much of it is, like you said, it's between the ears. But there's no, you know, I'm sure that they did their due diligence on Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. I feel very confident that these organizations, they interviewed these kids, they ad nauseum to figure out who was the best and how were they between the ears and all these things. And I think, like a lot of people coming into that draft and coming out of that draft, we all thought, well, those are two Hall of Famers right there. Both of them are going to have incredible careers. Ryan Leaf was very good in college, and that arm, anybody would have wanted that on their team. Peyton Manning seems like he knows his stuff, seems pretty smart, and definitely looks the part. But you know, we also know how that one turned out.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I guess, you know, plus it takes, you know, you have to put the work in.
Yeah.
You know, and some of these kids get so built up at a young age, and, oh, he's going to be the next Michael Jordan, or he's going to be the next Babe Ruth. And they got him such hyped up. And so these kids are like, oh, this is going to be easy for me. And then when it actually comes time to it, they're like, oh, I got to really put the work in to make it.
I think Greg Gard made that point this week about the high school basketball players come in. I think he was talking about maybe a Seguin and saying, you know, they all can score. He said, but the work that they've got to put on to learn how to play defense.
Yeah.
And if you're going to play for the Badgers, that's one perfect example.
Wisconsin is got a handful of offered scholarships out there to five quarterbacks in the 2023 class. And missed on all of them. Dante Moore went to Oregon, J.J. Cole, Avery Johnson, Braden Dorman, and Lincoln Kirkleholtz. Now, part of the reason that they are saying that Coach Crist was let go is because of this. This happened long before the Fickell decision was made and everything. But they are saying that Coach Crist was in part brought in to be a quarterback bringer, and that didn't really happen. And there was some thought that, you know, Coach Leonard, being a defensive-minded guy, wouldn't really be able to help Wisconsin evolve to the next level that so many college football teams are doing. You notice even Iowa is reaching out and trying to grab kids in now and trying to get a higher-scoring offense. And, I mean, you knew it was crazy when Iowa is worried about not having 6-3 games anymore. Like, even they want to get into this now. So it's a new day with these college teams. And they're getting closer and closer to pro game. I'm curious to see how long it is before they incorporate two steps in college football for a catch to count, things like that. I wonder how much more we're going to see of that, because it's pretty crazy to see some of these kids that are able to transition to the NFL game so smoothly, and some of these other ones from like smaller conferences that are just not. The rules being more similar to the pro game is almost going to have to happen with this evolution of, hey, quote unquote, unprofessional sports.
Well, right, and I don't disagree with that, and I mean, and that's one of the things you always hear too is, you know, are they NFL ready when they come into the draft, or you know, certain coaches, all these, you know, well, they got these kids NFL ready, so they should be able to step in right away and be that next big thing for those NFL teams. And I don't buy into a lot of that, because the fact is, I mean, things change. I mean, the game is so much faster. I mean, even getting faster in high school nowadays, and some, you know, and it's just mind-boggling on how the things have evolved. I mean, I'm going to date myself here. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, back when I was in high school sports, and you have these AAU teams. I mean, it was, right. I think AAU was just kind of starting out back in the late early 90s. You weren't playing baseball 11 months out of the year. They didn't have all these indoor facilities where he can go, you know, practice throwing and hitting and all that things. It's just it's just amazing and how, you know, everything has changed and
really has
the game and making it so much, you know, faster and yeah. at such even an earlier age.
Always appreciate the call, sir. Thank you so much. You have a great week. We'll talk again next week, okay?
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a great week.
You too. Take care.
Yeah, you know, once I got rid of those peach baskets.
Yes, yes. Oh, ever the whole game has gone downhill ever since you got rid of the peach baskets. That's not the same. My basketball involves peach baskets. That's the only true way to play basketball. That's
why. Yeah, things really have changed. He nailed it right on the head, hasn't he? Things have changed so big, so fast. You know, you watch those college kids, the size of them. Oh. And like, again, even like he was saying, our high school kids, how big they are.
Have you seen, just take the two tight ends for Georgia.
Yeah.
They're houses. They're not kids. Those aren't human beings. Those are houses moving around, running around.
Smacking people.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Wisconsin is going to be taking on Oklahoma State December 27th in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona.
Wish I lived in Arizona now. It'd be fun to go see.
That would be a fun. That seems like that should be a really good game.
I don't think they've ever played Oklahoma State.
I don't think so. Yeah, I was trying to look that up before the show, and I did not find any stats on that. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. Oklahoma State has been kind of waning. They've been hurting the last half of the season.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the year, I think they were top 15 for sure.
Should be an interesting one.
They're 7-5, Badgers 6-6. And I think I also heard Coach Fickell saying something like, well, Jim Leonard's going to be coaching the team, but he's going to be dabbling in it as well. So
yeah.
I would imagine he'll be around there a bit.
I want to watch that game, if anything, just to watch the sideline and see how that works out. Yeah.
Right.
And the college football playoff is set. Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Ohio State are in. Thanks a lot, USC.
And but kudos. Kudos to the selection committee for not putting Alabama in with two losses.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
You know, oh, my goodness. You know, Coach is on there, and Coach Saban's like, well, we only lost two games. Both were on the last play of the game. Hey, bottom line in this is you lose.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't care if it was by 2 points or 1 point each game or whatever. And I don't care if even on paper they're a better team than insert name.
Who are you going to knock out? TCU, who lost one game in overtime while you were sitting at home?
Man,
yeah, that would not have been.
No,
fair.
It was tough enough for them to kind of convince people that Ohio State belonged in, and I don't think that there's a big argument there.
Again, a one loss team to their rival.
Right, right.
That's, yeah.
I'm blanking on his name. I watched the TCU game. And that young quarterback, I can't think of his name right now, but my goodness, his performance was the definition of college football.
And guts, and they're saying maybe if people haven't cast their Heisman Trophy ballot yet, he should be a possibility because he was out there and he's...
Max Duggan.
Yes,
Max Duggan.
He runs for the touchdown. He's kneeling down. He's just exhausted. Whew. I mean, the kid played his heart out, didn't he?
It was one of those things where win or lose, you're like, man... This kid is going to and put this in a time capsule and show anybody when they ask, why do you guys watch college football? Why do you get so into these games? I have never cared about TCU football. I don't care about the Big 12 or any of that stuff. But, man, I could not take my eyes off of that performance from that kid and watching that game. And this is why we watch. This is why we watch. Even when our teams aren't involved, it pulls us in. We love this stuff.
And it goes to overtime. I'm like, I got to get over to Lincoln High School to broadcast the game. I'm not going to see the overtime. So I'm watching my phone, and it's like K-State kicks a field goal and wins it. It's like, wow, what a finish.
I want to wrap up with a little bit of baseball talk with you, Randy, unless you had anything else with the college football.
I wish we had another hour so we could talk college basketball, the upsets going on there, right? I think Gonzaga's lost three, or UNC's lost three.
North Carolina, yeah, and UNC's like 0-3 or something like that. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Zags are 5-3.
It's nuts.
Weren't they like number two in the country?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe number one.
What's up is down. What's down is up right now in college basketball.
North Carolina's number 18, and they lost. So, yeah, I wish we had more time. But you're right. The crime dog.
Yes, yes. Our long national nightmare is finally over. Fred McGriff is finally in the Baseball Hall of Fame, elected unanimously to the Hall of Fame on the Contemporary Era ballot. Congratulations to the crime dog.
Five-time All-Star, right?
Mm-hmm.
All-Star Game MVP in 94, World Series champ with the Braves in 95. Interesting, some of the names that didn't get in.
Yeah.
Did you notice those?
Yes.
I'll run through them real quick.
Yeah.
Don Mattingly, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, Dale Murphy, Albert Bell, Rafael Palmeiro. all names that everybody recognizes.
Yeah, yeah.
But the name that got in was the crime dog.
And I'm so happy for him, but I'm a little, and I don't know, maybe I just haven't looked at his stats in a long time. I'm shocked that Mattingly didn't get in.
Like, yeah,
the other guys, they obviously have the asterisk and all that and everything, but I'm a little surprised that Mattingly not, you know, Mr. Baseball almost, you know,
for the Yankees, right?
Yep. Yeah. Just interesting, but more importantly, congratulations to Fred McGriff. Yeah. I mean, this has been one of those things that we've been biting our, you know, our tongue up or yelling about forever.
I like that, biting your tongue, the crime dog.
Thank you. It's very deserving. We're very happy for him. And I did want to mention just two other quick things. Speaking of baseball, the Brewers promoted Marty Warnisky. She's the only woman COO in MLB, in Major League Baseball right now. First of many, more than likely. But a big congratulations to them and doing that. And this lady knows her stuff. So that's only going to help that organization get even stronger. And I didn't get a chance to put this in our good stories of the day, but I did want to mention a big congratulations to the University of Chicago men's soccer team, and more importantly, to Julianne Stitch on becoming the first female head coach to lead a men's soccer team to an NCAA national championship. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of this stuff, like in 5-10 years from now, that's not even going to, like, yeah, big deal. She was a woman. Nobody cares.
Right.
But right now, still really matters, still means something. A big congratulations to her and that squad. If you want a uplifting video to watch, again, just Google University of Chicago men's soccer team celebration. It's hard to watch that and not get a little, like, emotional. Like, it was really cool to see the way that everybody celebrated this with her and that team celebrated. It was a cool moment.
Yeah, kind of getting emotional like the Packers beating the Bears.
I knew you could.
I couldn't resist.
The last 30 seconds got it in there. Well done. Well, I can't even be mad at that. That was just well played. That was nicely done. Randy, we appreciate you so much hanging out with us. Thank you, as always, all the work that you do on and off the mic for us. I want to remind everybody that not only will we have great stuff coming up this week, we have the Greg Gard show a little bit later today at 6:05 on WFHR, but we have great high school stuff coming up this week as well, Randy. On a Friday, we have got some games. We're hopefully going to have a couple games for you on Friday. Keep on listening for that. And, of course, listen all year long for great Marquette and Wisconsin Badger basketball and great high school action right here on WFHR and our sister station, WIRI.
With the great Gene DeLisio this week. That'll be awesome.
It's going to be really good. Yep. Randy, thank you so much. You have a great week.
You too.
A big thank you to Coach Peckman with the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, and of course Ross Provost from Burn and Eights joining us here on Playmakers, and a big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR.